To get more on the science behind claims made by Planktos Corporation, we are joined by David Santillo of the Greenpeace Science Unit in Exeter, UK. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much.
Well, David, Greenpeace has been looking into this idea of seeding of plankton and the claims of carbon capture. What have you found?
The claims that are being made, we feel, are very overblown, inappropriate, given the level of uncertainty which still exists in the science. There are certain things here which are undoubtedly the case. Firstly, iron is an essential nutrient for phytoplankton growth. And secondly, there are indeed areas of the equatorial Pacific, of the subarctic, the Southern Ocean, where it does seem that productivity is in some way limited by nutrients other than nitrogen and phosphorus, and iron has been implicated in those cases. And certainly in those areas, if you add iron, that you can often stimulate a growth of phytoplankton. All of those things are clear. Those have been repeated with various experiments over the years, the last 10 or 15 years. To go from those scientific observations, however, to a hypothesis that ocean ecosystems can be restored and climate change even reversed by addition of iron, large-scale addition of iron to the oceans, involves a huge leap of faith. It makes some very big assumptions. It ignores the uncertainties surrounding the science regarding iron utilization. And in fact, it ignores some of the, some of the wealth of scientific evidence which has emerged over those experiments in the past 10 to 15 years, which indicates that iron fertilization is in fact not a sensible and probably not even a likely effective approach for mitigating climate change.
Well, let's talk about that. One is sensible and the other is effective. What are some of the problems that might come up?
There are a number of things. I think what you need to look at is firstly the potential for adverse impacts. Those unexpected collateral impacts that you can have from making any kind of human-induced change to ecosystems. And then secondly, to look at whether, in fact, even if you do get a bloom of plankton, that leads to effective drawdown and storage, long-term storage of additional carbon in the marine environment. So to look at the ecological impacts, adding nutrients of any sort generally involves not only an increase in the productivity, an increase in biomass, it very often means a change in the balance of different species in the plankton. You can get a shift from smaller species to larger ones, sometimes the other way around in a fairly unpredictable way. But what you do is change the basis of the whole ecosystem. The marine ecosystem relies on the planktonic algae as the basis for all of the productivity and marine life out in these open ocean ecosystems. And we should be very wary about making fundamental changes to that by adding iron or indeed any other nutrient on such a large scale. And then to look at the efficacy of sequestration, the experiments that have been conducted to date show that, in fact, a lot of the blooms that are produced by adding iron are very short-lived. The transfer of carbon from the surface layers down into deeper waters that would be necessary in order to lock away the CO2 in any effective way is really quite inefficient in most cases. And even if you do get, in one particular case, a fairly good transfer of carbon into deeper waters, it's no guarantee that it's going to stay there. It's not something that can be verified in terms of a positive impact on carbon balance and climate change. And the type of the sort of scale that would be necessary in terms of iron fertilization in order to generate real changes to the climatic system are just colossal. I mean, they're well and beyond any of the experiments that have been conducted to date.
So we might need 1,000 ships or something like that to really have an effect?
Well, I think even if you could get to the point where you were fairly confident of some reliable transfer of carbon from the surface into deeper water, yes, you would be looking at thousands of ships operating continuously in order to produce the types of changes that are being proposed. But I think before you get to that point, you have to remember that the uncertainties in the way in which that iron would be used are still very great. And even those researchers which are looking, the research groups that are looking at iron use in the ocean, that are looking at the results from the fertilization experiments to date, one thing they come back to again and again are the huge uncertainties, the gaps in knowledge that we have about the way in which iron is utilized by marine plankton and the way in which any addition of iron is ultimately going to impact on the ecosystems as a whole.
Well, do you think that this particular company, from what you've seen, is in a position to add to our scientific knowledge about it? I mean, should we let it go as just a research voyage?
I don't think we should let it go as a research voyage, because clearly that's not what it's being designed and promoted as. There are a number of experiments that are going on at the moment, the number that have been going on since the early 90s in various parts of the world's oceans, in the equatorial Pacific initially in the early 90s, Southern Ocean in the late 90s, coming through to the South Atlantic and the Northeast Subarctic in the in more recent years. These have all been designed as scientific experiments in order to determine more about the way in which iron is utilized by marine plankton and the way in which carbon is sequestered, how that's recycled, how much of it actually drops out of the water column into deeper waters. The difference with the proposal that's coming from Planktos and indeed from other companies is that there is a degree of commercialization here. The proposal is quite clearly to go out and test this as a proof of concept for an eco-restoration experiment. The researchers, Russ George, the CEO of Planktos, and the others that are involved, they seem convinced that this is going to work. I think they're the only ones that are convinced. And I think for them to go out on the back of this research and to begin promoting carbon credits, carbon offsets, that people could purchase on the back of these experiments, I think is very disingenuous.
So in a nutshell, what would the Greenpeace position on this seeding venture be?
We feel that, that the Planktos venture, and in fact any other proposal to commercialize this whole issue of iron fertilization, should not be going ahead. It shouldn't be permitted at this stage. And companies like Planktos should take a far more ethical stance on this and not look at their continuing the iron seeding experiments by whatever means. Planktos has fallen foul in to some degree of the potential for U.S. law to regulate their activities. And their response, rather than to explore that in more detail, to look again at whether, in fact, what they were proposing was acceptable, was simply to say, well, in that case, we'll go beyond the U.S. We won't use U.S. flagged vessels. We're going to do this come what may. And I think that that sets them apart from the other research groups which are pursuing research into nutrient dynamics, into the fate of iron which is placed in the oceans, and the way in which that impacts with the plankton, in fact, the way in which plankton interact with the climate. It's being done in general with a much more scientific basis, looking at our understanding of the way in which these ecosystems work and respond. With companies like Planktos, it's specifically designed as a proof of concept in order to commercialize iron fertilization at a time when the uncertainties remain very big and the evidence suggests that, in fact, it won't be an effective mechanism of sequestering carbon. And for that reason, we feel that this shouldn't be allowed to go ahead as a proof of concept for a commercial operation.
From England, we've been speaking with Dr. David Santillo of the Greenpeace Science Unit, and thanks for taking the time to explain this to our listeners.
EcoShock Radio, broadcast and podcast. Find us on the web at ecoshock.org.